When Peter said, as the days of were, so shall, whatever he said about it. I forgot how he worded it, but think now, it's about the Holy Spirit coming. He said, this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. Amen. And Haggai talked about your money being put into pockets that have holes in them. In other words, all that you're doing for yourself is of no value. What we need to think about is the temple. It's wonderful, isn't it? So I have something to say to you about this. It's really amazing. So quick question. If you can answer this, just shout it out. If you can't, don't be embarrassed. But, you know, get in the ballpark with your answer. How many books are in the Bible? 66 books. All right. What? You did what? All right, 66 books of the Bible, 39 in the Old Testament, 27 in the New. Remember that. You just take 39, 3 times 9 is 27. You take out the time sign and you got the two halves. Now, here's a really good thing. This is what I'm driving at today. The exact center of the Bible is very interesting. But let me go with a couple of other trivial things. The shortest chapter in the Bible is Psalm 117. It's like two verses long. The longest chapter in the Bible is Psalm 119. The very center, now this will vary on versions. So we're talking about the King James Version. The center of the Bible is Psalm 118, and you'll find this to be a very interesting verse. Said in verse 25, Psalm 118, verse 25, this is the Lord's doing, it is marvelous in our eyes. I just find that so interesting. I say, well, you're just fitting that together. Well, whatever. It inspires me, and I like to be inspired. So that's a few trivial things about the Bible. I think it is time that we really got a hold of what it says. In the old days, and I talk about the old days of being my day. Why would that old days? Your Bible was made out of pure leather. The very oil of your hand is what kept it lubricated. If you had it on the shelf and your Bible is like, mine will say genuine leather here somewhere, you keep it on the shelf, it's going to crack. And so we would always say, oh, your Bible, you know, you come in, it's all cracked, you know, you haven't been reading your Bible. Well, we wouldn't say that, but that's just a little bit of things that are trivial, but that we ought to really know. 66 books in the Bible, and we ought to at least know the first five books of the Bible, right? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and Joshua, Judges, Ruth. We go on from there, right? 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, and on we go. And I'll probably mess up somewhere along the line and be embarrassed. So I bring that to your attention because today we're reading in the Bible something that it pertains to us today. Remember last week's teaching? I forgot the definition, but there's a way that we can identify something from the Old Testament that's its equivalent in the New Testament, and it is something that's for us. So in the New Testament, when we talk about shepherd, can you think of somebody in the New Testament that called himself shepherd? That would be an easy answer, right? Jesus. Amen. He said, I am the good shepherd. I had a hard time in some years serving the Lord. I would have these times where, wow, Lord, what is going on? Why am I here? What are you doing? You can take me out of this in a heartbeat. Why do I have to go through this? And I began to get an impression of God sometimes that wasn't always that he was a good God. And I had to really come to grips with that when I would read that Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The answer to our question, is God good? Is yes, he is a good God. How do I account for all the evil in the world? You're asking the wrong guy. It's too hard to explain to you why an earthquake happens in Indonesia and there's a tsunami, and I don't know how many people were killed, but the number is like several thousand people, I think, or at least 1,500 to 2,000. I don't know why that happens, you guys. It's the world we live in. It's called a dichotomy of two worlds. The world we live in versus the world that we're a part of in Jesus, the kingdom of God world. So to answer that, why did my uncle die of cancer? I don't know. You know, I don't have the answer. I wish I did. Why am I struggling with this? That's a very good question. I don't know why, but I assure you that God knows why, and he is leading you as a good shepherd. and he is guiding you and directing you as a good shepherd. So I'm going to start off my sermon with a question, and it might be followed with prayer. We'll see where it goes. I told Julie today, I said, I'm doing some things that might be a little bit different, and just pray for me. Yes, Julie? Yes, in a minute, Terry. Yeah, we're doing fine. Do we have our Japanese reader today? Yay! Thank you. Just be patient. You know how I go. I do a lot of, I don't know what you would call it, off the main trail, okay? Now, there's a scripture in this psalm here that says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. What would you say is the time that people mostly read this psalm? What particular event is taking place? Where do we mostly hear Psalm 23? If we're going to hear it on TV or in the movies, could somebody quickly say?
When somebody's dying or sick.
Yes, or died at the funeral. And then what's the guy in the background? He's like, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And then these two people are talking about the next step because they're probably in something very evil, you know, and they're talking during the... But you hear the voice in the background. But I want to bring out Psalm 23 to something that really means something to us today. So before we have our Japanese reading and before we do anything else, the scripture says, Lord, though it says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. How many of you today are in a situation where you could use a prayer? Something going on in your life that is so hard and so difficult. I notice our sister over here, behind you, Anna, right here with the thing on her face. Has she got a problem with going on? What happened?
I fell down.
You fell down? Where did you fall down? Here? Out here. Yeah, let's pray for you right now. Amen. I noticed the ice on her face. I thought she was crying because I was talking. Okay, Lord, we just want to pray right now. Just go ahead and lay your hands on her if you can. Some of you might have to get up to do this, okay? Let's do a church thing here. Lay hands upon those that are sick and needing their body. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just want to lift up our sister. Lord, we don't know what happened in her cheekbone. Apparently, Lord, there's something. She fell down, and it was definitely wet outside. And we just are with empathy from our hearts, knowing that it could have been us, could be anybody that could have slipped outside. And it looks like her eye and has been underneath it has been injured. She's got ice on it. Lord, we thank you for that. But once again, only you can bring the healing. Lord, that you would touch her right now as a good shepherd and as a rescuing shepherd and one that's tending to your own sheep, that in the name of Jesus, right now, in the presence of the Lord, in the presence of this congregation, the touch of God, the ministry of the work of the Lord would be real for her right now to move and to minister to her need. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Wow. Yeah, wow. I can see her eyes looking a little bit different than the other one. Yeah, I'm so sorry to hear that. But you're with us. Thank you for that. So that's anybody else have a need? Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You're not going to come up here and do something weird. Don't worry. We're just raise your hand and we're going to pray for you. So if anybody fits that, something in your life that you need direction, something going on that you are in a place, maybe it's not as critical as the shadow of death, okay? But there's a need. And then we'll move on, okay? So I'm just opening up the congregation right now. Anybody here? Something going through? Sandy. Okay, Sandy texted me. In the text, she said that she actually broke her leg. Am I right on this? No, I'm
right.
She did break her hip. Okay, so I had the text that she broke her leg. I don't know what happened there, but anyway. Now she's in a nursing home or some kind of a place to be in intermediate. Okay, and next question, how's she doing?
She's doing well. They said that they expect her to recover, I think, in 6 weeks.
Yes.
She's on some pain medication, but otherwise, she's doing pretty well. I think they've had her walking a little bit here and there.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think once she can do 10 steps at once, then she can go home. Once she can go up 10 steps.
Oh, up, like the stairs.
Yeah, she can go up and down like 10 steps, and she can go home.
Right, amen. Let's pray for Sandy. Father, in the name of Jesus, one of our own, Lord, one of our members here, and very quiet, very reserved, but Lord, she does come. She's had a change in her life by the power of the Holy Spirit. No one could deny what has happened in her life. She was baptized in water in this church, Lord, at a pool, Lord. We just want to thank you for that and to really praise you and to magnify you. Lord, right now, in Jesus' name, the Lord of all, we pray for Sandy's healing, her health, her recovery, her ability to walk up 10 steps, Lord, as she needs to because she does live upstairs. And that you would just, in this time, in this window, you're the Lord of all. You can do it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you for that. Anybody else? Okay. Praise God. Oh, by the way, I think that Chelsea and Nate, their family, they're getting ready to go to Japan in a few days. I want to pray for their safe travels. Aki and Mandy are already in Japan, so apparently he likes Aki so much, and they love him so much that they're actually going to go to Japan. Yes, Aki is leaving tomorrow, right. But they're leaving like on, I think, Thursday. So, in other words, you guys, it's okay. They like Pastor Aki, and they want to go all the way to Japan to see them. Just kidding, that's not true. So, let's pray for them. Keep them in prayer. Amen. And safe travels. Yes. Yeah.
They speak almost no English, but so we feel like a friendship with them. I just pray, like, one of the main reasons we're going back is for Noah. Like, if I would just help the language.
Yes. You're talking about your oldest boy.
Friendship, yeah. Yeah. Just the friendship with people in spite of the language barrier.
Sure. Amen. Absolutely, you guys. Well, anyway, enough said. We'll keep that in prayer. Anybody else? Anybody else? Pray for all of our students today that they'll be facing their own difficulties, tests, deadlines, all that. Yes?
I have cancer. My daughter has cancer. I don't care about myself because yeah. I'm 92.
Yes.
But can you pray for my daughter?
Yes. What's her name? Susan.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Amen. Thank you, Kenji, for bringing that up to us. Right now, Lord, we just want to pray for Kenji's daughter, Susan. Surprise to all of us. Maybe some know this. But in the name of Jesus, touch her. Help her. Help her to be healed, Lord. You never picked somebody out of a crowd because they were a super good person or they were the top of the line or the best that they could ever be. There were so many that you healed just out of compassion and out of just the very virtue of loving that person and caring for that person. And so we want to lift up Susan before you that you bring healing. This is a dad's heart talking here. Kenji is speaking out of his heart and his deepest emotions in that area, Lord. He doesn't want to see this happen to his daughter. So we pray. All we can do, Lord, is pray in the name of Jesus to the Father. Amen. Amen. Yeah, you're very welcome. Thank you for telling us. Okay, then let's have our Japanese reading and we will continue on. Thank you so much.
聖書朗読詩編23編。主は私の羊飼い。私は乏しいことがありません。主は私を緑の牧場に伏させ、憩いの水のほとりに従われます。主は私の魂を生き返らせ、皆のために私を義の道に導かれます。たとえ死の影の谷を歩くことがあっても、私は災いを恐れません。あなたが私と共におられますから、あなたの鞭とあなたの杖、それが私の慰めです。私の敵の前であなたは私のために食事を整え、私の頭に油を注いでくださいます。私の杯は溢れています。まことに私の命の日の限り、慈しみと恵みとが私を追ってくるでしょう。私はいつまでも主の家に住まいましょう。
Thank you very much. Amen.
So I'm going to kind of go verse by verse here and what I have. I've already read the English to you one time today. Let me begin by saying this. In the natural sense of the word, I am not a shepherd. Natural sense, right? I know virtually really nothing about sheep. I've heard stories told that sheep will follow the leader even off a cliff. I found some really funny cartoons about that on when I looked it up, and there would be a mass of sheep that are walking one direction, and there's a bunch of them just kind of falling off this cliff. There's a black sheep going the opposite direction, and the black sheep is saying, excuse me, sorry, excuse me. I just thought that was so funny, because the black sheep does the opposite, right, and is the bad one. And this one is going to have his life saved because he's going the wrong way, but the right way, because the rest of them are falling off a cliff. I don't know if that's a true statement. I looked it up. I tried to find the answer. I've heard preachers preach it. You know, they'll say a sheep will follow other sheep right off a cliff. Well, I'm not a shepherd in that sense. I know nothing about sheep except for what I've been able to read. And so I'm going to share with you the knowledge that I've gained about this. One of the things that I will talk about right now is that sheep are actually not dumb. We hear this thing that says, and sometimes they use the word stupid, which offends me because they're talking about me, and they say sheep are stupid. And I thought, well, we're sheep, you know, are we all a bunch of, you know, don't have it together? But listen to this story. This is a pretty good one. A man caught a sheep. We always use sheep or sheep. There's no plural or singular, right? It's just sheep. So a sheep was, you know those cattle guards? Have you ever been on a country road and you're driving along and you hit this thing that has all these bars in it and it goes like that? You know what I'm talking about? You say yes or no? Yes? Okay. So the cattle, they don't know to do this. They said, I can't go across that. Their hoofs will get stuck or whatever it is that causes them not to take another step, right? So this man actually caught a sheep rolling over the top of that cattle guard to get to the other side because he found food on the other side of that. I said, now that is not a dumb sheep. That's pretty smart. How do you put that together in your head? I mean, can you imagine him thinking about this? Let me see what I'm going to do now. I think I'll step on it. Puts his little paw or whatever you call that little hoof out there. No, that's not a good idea. Maybe I can take a run at it. That's what I'm going to do. Take a run. Gallops to it and he realizes at the last moment he can't do that. And he comes up with a bright idea, who knows how, that he's going to roll over it. And that's how he's going to get to the other side. And the guy said that the reason is that the grass was so green on the other side of this thing that he was going for the food. And I just thought that was so amazing. So I want to say from the outset, I'll tell you why sheep are followers, but they are not stupid. So I don't want to use that words. We're called sheep. I don't consider anybody in this room to be inferior in a sense like that. But I will tell you why sheep need each other, okay? So that's the first thing I want to say. The next thing I want to tell you about is that sheep are very peaceful. They're not aggressive. When Jesus said, if someone slaps you on one cheek, you hit them back as hard as you can, you wrestle them to the ground, you step on their face, you get so mad, you call the cops. Did I say the right thing? No, I didn't. You know I didn't. You turn the other cheek. If a Roman soldier comes to you, now this is why Jesus said about the mile thing. It was part of the law of Rome that they could ask somebody that was not a Roman citizen to take their load for 1 mile. They had all kinds of gear. It was heavy. And the person who was not a Roman citizen, didn't have any place in society, would have to carry their load for 1 mile. But Jesus said, not 1 mile, but 2 miles. Now, I'm bringing that up to tell you and show you that we're called sheep. That we are not on the offensive in a sense of fighting back. Years ago, when I was in college, studying in a communications degree, the big topic of that particular 2-3 years was abortion and the abortion clinics that were, and we still protest them today, but there were a lot of people in Chattanooga and the surrounding areas that were going there and they were holding up their signs, and a lot of these were Christian believers, and they would protest the abortion clinics. And our teacher, one of my teachers, he taught this class of ethics, was the one. He came back to us. He said he had just spent the weekend in a protest of an abortion clinic in Chattanooga. We lived about 20 miles or 25 miles from Chattanooga, Tennessee. And he said something very, very awful happened. And he began to share with us that some of the people in the group became aggressive. And they tried to set the clinic on fire. They tried to even hurt people so they could, you know, so supposedly stop doing abortions. You understand that in the heart that could be right, but in the motive is way wrong, right? The motive is good, but what do you say? That's just not the way we do things. So sheep are peaceful. Sheep are not aggressive. Why are we called sheep? Because we're to be the peacemakers, right? And we're to follow peace with all men and holiness, without such there is no getting into heaven. We've got to follow peace with all men and holiness. So we have this thing that we are peaceful people. And when we protest, we do it another way. And I know how that's done. We do it through love. I totally believe that if we followed these three principles, we would be a lot better off in our society, and maybe you're doing this. But to love other people, to accept other people, and to forgive other people, and not to hold something against them. And my wife and I have oftentimes talked about what if this kind of a person came into our lives, and speaking to somebody of not my particular lifestyle, I hope you can put two and two together, how would I handle that person? And so there's an emotional attachment to how I would handle that person. But Jesus told me something totally different. He wants us to receive all people. And he was meek and he was humble, but he didn't allow people just to walk all over him. In other words, if somebody was attacking my wife, I wouldn't say, "Well, Julie, just turn the other cheek, you know, that's right. And I'll see you in about 5 minutes after this whole incident." I would never do that. I would want to protect her, right? That's what I would want to do. And pity the guy that would do that, because I would probably do something I would not be happy about, but I would protect her. And how many parents would do the same for your children? You would never allow your children to get into a dangerous place. And if somebody did something to your children, there's ways to handle it. But inside, you would be very angry. So we have to consider all that. And I'm not saying to you that you're so peaceful that somebody can just walk all over you. No. But there's a way that we can love one another. We love each other. We love the people in the world. And that word, L-A-F, you want to say laugh if you can about it, but to love, to accept, and to forgive. Forgiveness. Without forgiveness, you cannot be forgiven. People don't, they miss that whole story. So I'm not there today, but I'm just telling you in relation to the sheep. So we are not aggressive. Sheep need one another. Notice, I don't know a lot about sheep. Every time I see sheep, they're just eating. They're just in a big herd, just walking around eating. So I don't see a lot of activity, so I can't relate to what they're doing out there. Maybe I'm not supposed to. Maybe that's just what they do. They just herd together. They're not aggressive. They're very kind. And they have a sense of fleeing when the wolf comes, but there's not the aggression saying, "We're going to take care of that wolf coming in." Many years ago, by the way, I'll share this story with you very quickly. There was a guy, we had this building that we would rent, that we had our service at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Another group from the military base would use our building in the morning. And I got this crazy idea, and I think I was right, but I handled it wrong. But this guy, the pastor, was inviting my people to his church. And I got very defensive. And I remember thinking, "I'm going to defend my sheep, you know." And I got angry, and I said, what does he think he's doing? And I know I handled it in the wrong way. I was trying to protect the sheep, and in so doing, it just wasn't what the Lord wanted me to do. And so I would get angry at him, and I had this thing that if I would see him at the military base or post or army, that I would kind of like, "Oh no, here's that guy," you know. And I knew his name, and I'd pray, you know, that he wouldn't keep doing that. Until one day, and his last name was Favors, of all the names, he and I sat down together. And we just talked, and I thought, he never had those intentions.
I don't know why he was doing that with my sheep, with my sheep. By the way, you belong to Jesus. Pastor Rocky is an under shepherd, so he doesn't own you. All right, just understand that. But anyway, and neither do I. So this guy named Favors, I call him Brother Favors, that I said, wow, he's actually a nice guy. I don't think he's trying to steal my sheep, and they're not even my sheep. So what's going on with you, Tom? You got to learn and behave and get this right, because if they go with him, okay, that's where they feel better. Maybe you're not ministering to them exactly, right? So I had to learn that lesson, and I had to become peaceful, not aggressive, not putting down the line. I'm going to draw a line in the sand. You cross that line, and I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'm going to do something because you're stealing my sheep. And he wasn't stealing my sheep. That's when the Lord got a hold of me. He said, Tom, they're not your sheep. You just behave. And that's kind of how I felt in my heart, and I had to really do some real soul searching. But sheep need each other. Does that say anything to you guys today? We need each other. We're never going to make it alone. You will not survive. I've heard people say when they are healthy and willing and able to come to church, they decide they're going to be a loner and they're going to do this whole thing on their own. I can read the Bible on my own. I can hear a sermon on YouTube. I can pray on my own. And I can do all this stuff on my own. The answer is no, you can't. That's not the nature of sheep. It's not our nature now that we belong to Jesus. They don't do well as a loner. They don't do well by themselves. They cannot survive with it. And another reason they operate in herds is for protection. And that may sound a little weird. Now, the shepherd is there. I won't even have time to get into his role a whole lot today. But the sheep hang together. And they know when there's danger coming. And that tells me that we better be aware when danger's coming our way. When is somebody trying to persuade you that maybe Jesus isn't who he claimed to be? You ever have that? I don't know if you have, but it may happen to you. And you're going to find out where you really are in the Lord. So we need to come together. We need to come together for Sandy. We need to come together for Kenji and his daughter. We need to come together for each other in the service. We need to come together for our family back here. And we're so thankful that we have two children in our church. Isn't that wonderful? I want to see a bunch more, even if they run around and make all the rest of us mad. As an old guy, you know, I said, what are they running in church for? You know, they're not supposed to run in church. And then we run sometimes. And that's another church. Anyway, so sheep do not operate alone. There's no such thing. That's not the way they do it. They're in herds. Okay? Now, they do things alone, of course, like eating. You know, the other one is not feeding the other one. Boy, there's a lesson there, right? I think that our attitude sometimes is, well, Pastor, you're supposed to feed me. People leave a church because they're not being fed. Well, wait a minute. Are you even opening your mouth to be fed spiritually? You know, and they get really, and then they're overfed. They become these great big, boom, feed me. And they come wobbling in the church. Boom, 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 boom. Crash. Feed me. And if the pastor doesn't do that, they go, I'm not getting fed in that church. And they go to another church. Clunk, 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 clunk. Crash. Feed me. The good food. I don't agree with that sermon. I quit. I'll go to another church. Clunk, 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 clunk. And they're always like, what are we supposed to do? Can I make you eat? I can't make you eat. That's crazy. I made my children eat somehow. We'd wait them out. They were really good, actually. Never had to do it too many times, but, you know, just waiting it out. They're going to eat your beans tonight. They usually ate vegetables just fine. But there were a few times that, and I got mad because Julie was working. I'm getting them ready for church Wednesday night. We're eating food. I'm saying, eat your food. And they're always in that age where they're not hungry, right? And, you know, push it away. And then I eat it. I would eat their food. I even ate Anna's baby food one time. I got so hungry. She wouldn't eat it. I said, man, that's beef stew. What are you doing here? You're not eating this beef stew. I just heated this whole thing up for you. And she went, and I got mad. I said, I got to get to church in about 15 minutes. We got to go here. I don't know where Julie was that night, but I'm feeding Anna. And she's just in this high chair, you know, just a little kid. And there's everything on the ground. All the stuff I give her is just pushed off of there.
and there's this huge mess. You know what I'm talking about, parents. This thing got down, everything's down there, not on top of the high chair thing. And she's not eating. And I tasted it to see if it was hot. And it was good. And I went, this is better than I thought. This toddler food is pretty good. Ate another bite, and she was, I said, okay, I'm eating. I said, that's all I'm doing. And I kept trying to get her one. No. So I cannot make you eat. That's my point. Sorry for taking so much time on those two points there. Sheep are peaceful, and they stay close to each other. Sheep find security in the herd, but especially from the shepherd. Now I can talk about a shepherd a little bit. Here's what the sheep know. This is amazing. This is why they're not stupid. They know their shepherd, and the shepherd knows them. And from what I've read, and I, maybe not every time, I can't go straight across the board, but he names the sheep. He calls them by name, and they recognize his voice and only his voice. The sheep, I don't know if you have a dog like this, but I used to have a dog that would only recognize the families when we call our dog. Most dogs can understand their name, but this dog was like, you call the dog's name, and if somebody else doing it, it'd be like nothing, right? You weren't even existing. Then I'd say the dog's name, you know. And if I said walk, well, that was it. Or leash, wow, forget it. But the sheep know who the shepherd is. And the shepherd knows the sheep, and he knows them by name. And that's where Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and they know me. And then when he says that they go inside of this area that's protected, they go in and out, and they find freedom, that's talking about us in the body of Christ, where we can enter into with the very close presence of the Lord, but we also go out of that. We're still with God, but we go out to do our everyday things, and we come back together inside of this area that's protected. We need each other like that. I need this as much as you do. I need to see your smiling faces. And everybody is, well, there's a few people there. No, I'm just kidding. You're all smiling, and you all look great. Amen. So, the shepherd, the good shepherd, he knows their sheep. He knows them. He knows their behavior. He learns them. And the sheep learn their master, their person, that one that's in charge. And he's got these tools that I know nothing about. The thing called a crook. What is a crook? That big hook thing? All right. I'm not a shepherd. And I guess from what I've read, that it helps him with his reach, right? His arm goes out that far, but now he's got this tool, this thing, and he's got a big hook on the end, and he can get the neck of the sheep to pull them back from something that's dangerous. So many stories here. I just need to move on because I spent some time about the Bible. I mentioned to you that sheep are really very smart. I gave you the example of that. The reputation of sheep doing stupid things comes from their need to belong and to follow a leader. They are followers. And so when a leader, another sheep leader, goes one direction, they will follow. And not always do they follow correctly. Okay? So be careful who you follow in this world. Be careful who you make friends with. I hope that makes sense. Pick your friends. There's a saying about this, but pick your friends carefully and know them and know that they're going to be on your side. If you say something very personal, they won't be on Facebook or Twitter or all the other stuff going, guess what I heard? And the tendency is for us sometimes to get a good piece of juicy gossip. And we just, and you say, I got to tell somebody. I don't know why that is, but I got to tell somebody. I think I'll get on Facebook and tell the world. Press like if you like this gossip about so, and then the other person finds out. And so anyway, sometimes we ask, how can a person follow a weird, strange doctrine? And the reason is that sheep are followers. Sometimes sheep don't really discern whom they're following. The lesson is, be careful of whom you follow. You've got friends. And you want to persuade your friends. You don't want your friends to persuade you. So it takes discipline. But know who you follow. I can listen. I can hear a doctrine that's off course. I know it so quickly. I know it. And some of you do too. And some of you may not. But you got to get so in tune with Jesus that when you hear something false, your antennas go up. Not to try to put them down, but to try to bring a warning to yourself. Wait a minute. That doesn't sound right. Something inside of you says, that's not right. I can't go that way. I don't believe that. Don't make a big deal out of it. Just know that you're getting the Holy Spirit direction. The Bible says He will guide us into all truth. So when we get to Jesus, and I'm wrapping up now, when He calls Himself the Good Shepherd, everything about Jesus is good. Even when you think something bad has happened to you. If a sheep is going to fall into a ditch and the shepherd takes the crook, you know, that thing on the end, and grabs the sheep will not think that was a very nice thing to do. All right? And probably thinking about something like, what are you doing this for? Have you ever said that to God? Why are you allowing this to happen? He's got you. You're going somewhere you shouldn't go. He's connected to you. He's pulling you back. He wants you to be back with the herd because you're going to fall into a ditch. You're going to go somewhere you shouldn't go. You're going to get into some food you're not supposed to eat. You're going to get somewhere that is unsafe. And the good shepherd, the one that's good, is going to get a hold of you and bring you back. And He's going to take care of you. He makes you lie down in green pastures. He feeds your soul. He brings you to the green grass. He brings you to this water that's still. Oh, that's another thing I learned. Sheep don't like running water. You know, I was in Colorado, and there's a river called the Animas River, something like that. And it was just flowing like. And my friend of mine and I got out of our vehicle. We went on down there. And the water was flowing over these rocks. It was ice cold water. The day was about 90 degrees in the summer. And we were drinking this ice cold water. Sheep would never do that. They don't like running water. It frightens them. It's kind of weird, isn't it? They want still water. They want it to be nice and quiet, peaceful. I like peace. I hate it when the church is in uproar. I don't like it when there's a members that are upset at other members, or there's a division in the church, or one's over here and one's over here, and they don't talk to each other. There's something upsetting about that. I've been in arguments with my wife, and I've not liked it. I said, there's something wrong. What's bugging me? And it's because we haven't connected like we should. There's something going on in our own lives that we're not at peace with one another. And that can happen to us. And it's very unsettling. Sheep like water that's not moving. They like it still. We like peaceful things. How many of you do not like conflict? Okay, you don't raise your hand, but I'll raise my hand. I don't like conflict. I just avoid conflict. I don't look for conflict. And when it comes my way, it's upsetting. My stomach hurts. My mind is all frustrated. I'm thinking about it night and day. I'm bothered. There's something going on that I don't like. And it's because I don't like to confront some of these things. And so, there you go. Sheep like still water. That's wonderful. There's so many stories here, you guys. I'm going to bring this to an ending right here. Jesus is called the Good Shepherd. He's our shepherd. He's good. And here's what happens to us. When you know the shepherd cares for you, you are comforted. Jesus said, I will send you another comforter. Oh, well, who's my comforter right now? I am, says Jesus. But I'm going to leave. Where are you going? Can't tell you right now, but I'm going to leave. Oh yeah, what does all that mean? No, we don't know. And one day Jesus dies on a cross, and he's in the grave for 3 days, and he comes out on the third day, and he talks with him for a number of days, and he says, I'm going to go away, but I'm going to send you another comforter. Oh, it happens again. And then Jesus ascends up into heaven, and then the Holy Spirit comes down on the day of Pentecost, like a sound of rushing water, a wind, and fire, and all the good things about the Holy Spirit comes down to be our comforter. So now we're comforted. Very quickly, quick story. Another story. I like stories. One day, we have this young lady, we're praying for her. She knows nothing about how we do things, you know, by laying hands on the sick and praying for people like that. And so, one of the other members said, I think we should get a comforter and put it around her. And I thought, that is weird. What am I going to say to that? Like, am I going to put my foot down? But I looked at her eyes, and she seemed like she was for it. I said, okay, this is weird, but okay. It's just a blanket or a comforter. We wrapped a comforter around her and started praying for her. And she was receiving all these prayers. It was wonderful. After it was all said and done, I said to her, I know this was weird. I'm sorry if you felt uncomfortable. We wouldn't do that. But I said, do you have anything about this event that you can share with us? And here's her words exactly. It made me feel comforted. I said, isn't that something? That's what the Holy Spirit does. When He says, I'll clothe you, I will comfort you, I will put the Holy Spirit around you, I will comfort you with the Holy Spirit so that you're not an orphan. All these stories are powerful. I know I got to end, you guys, but I just want you to know, by life experience, I can tell you that Jesus is a good shepherd. He will take care of you. And he doesn't beat you up and kick you out and hurt you. I can't explain why bad things happen to good people. I wish I could, but just take every day as it comes. Amen. All righty. I'm a little bit out of sequence. We do communion right now, and we have no song at this present time during the communion. Thank you. You think I would know what I'm doing. Communion. I've said it many times before, and I'll say it again. In fact, I just want you